So today we start our new series, as Eric told us as we started off. We start off talking about the doctrines of the Christian faith and what we believe in here as a church at Solid Rock. We started off this year, 2025, looking at the roles of the church: the pastor, elder, deacon, outreach, congregation, what those all mean. And then we did a little three-week series on the rapture, tribulation, and the second coming of Christ. And I think this series is just a great follow-up to the roles of the church. Because now, again, like I said, we talk about what we believe, but also much of the global church believes this also. Each of these doctrines that we will talk about are discussed and described in our website, on our website, but in our bylaws, the little three-sentence descriptions of just what they mean. And so we're going to be looking at things like the sovereignty of God. That's today. That is actually not on the bylaws. It's something I came up with for this series. But we're going to be looking at adoption, justification, sanctification, regeneration, and salvation on Easter morning. If there are words in there that you've never heard or do not know, well then welcome to the party, because I don't know what regeneration means either. A lot of these words are very similar, and when Elliot told me what they were, we debated for a little bit because I was like, I do not understand the difference between all of these. So if you are in that boat, come on, be encouraged to come to learn and understand what so much of the Christian church community believes in. Today, as I said, we look at the sovereignty of God. To start off, we need to define what sovereignty is. In order to look at it from a biblical perspective, biblical standpoint, we need to see how it is defined, even in a secular way. Cornell Law School defines sovereignty as a dominant power or a supreme authority. Another definition said the power and authority to rule. In a political stance, this can be a king or a queen reigning supreme over all the land, where all the political decisions and rules go straight through them. Many times nowadays, that's not even how they have it in other countries, but that's how it was back then, even in Jesus' time. In America, we have a president, a lot goes through him, but also we have Congress and we have senators that make laws and rules. And obviously, we're not here to talk about politics, but we're here to talk about God's sovereignty. But in so many ways, they do merge. So what is the sovereignty of God? And what does it mean for God to be sovereign? Well, in a few simple words, it means that God is in control of everything that goes on. Sovereignty is the idea of control and the authority to rule. The idea that no one can stay his hand. No one can thwart or stop his working and his plan in any way, shape, or form. God being sovereign, connecting to our first definition, means that he is supreme authority and complete authority and power to rule and to do what he wants and what he pleases. Through God's sovereignty, he is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present, as we talked about last summer. He's responsible for the creation of all things. Nothing in the universe occurs without God's permission. He has the power and knowledge to prevent anything he chooses to prevent, and the power to make anything to occur that he wants to occur. He is sovereign and in control of creation and the things of this world just as much as all people. The very opening of our eyes in the morning, The very asteroid that flies through the summer sky is by the work of God. It's by the work of God's doing, sending that through. Our amazement to show is the work of God. The earth and the creation declare God's sovereignty. But most importantly, the Bible declares his sovereignty all throughout it, from the very first page of Genesis all the way to Revelation, from the beginning of time to right now, to the day when Christ returns, he remains sovereign. And because we love and commit our lives to a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we can trust and know that he is in control. He's in control of every little detail, I'm going to say the other one instead, detail of your life. Your life and in the world that is going on today. And as I said, all throughout the Bible declares who he is, declares his sovereignty. It says in Colossians 1, 16 through 17, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together." 1 Chronicles 29, 11-12, it says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that he is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you. You rule over all. In your hand are power and might. And in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." In Proverbs it says, many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Psalm 135, 6 says, "Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all the deeps." Isaiah says, "I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I, the Lord, who does all these things." In Proverbs, it says, "The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble." Psalm 33:10 says, "The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations." Now, Solid Rock, I know that was a lot of scripture, but that's what we love here. But there's no better way to talk about God's sovereignty than letting the scripture speak for itself, letting God declare who he is for himself through his word. If it's through Proverbs, Isaiah, all words of the Bible are directly inspired by God. Let him declare who he is. That all things were created through him and for him, and he holds all things together. He is great and powerful, mighty. He is to be highly exalted. His purposes will stand, and what he wills will stand. All that goes on under his rule and his authority and his lordship. God in his sovereignty is vast and he is powerful. When talking about God's sovereignty, Job says in Job 9, 4 through 13, "His wisdom is profound. His power is vast. Who has resisted him and come out unscathed. He moves mountains without their knowing it. And overturns them in his anger. He shakes the earth from the place and makes its pillars tremble. He speaks to the sun and it does not shine. He seals off the light and the stars. He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He is the maker of the Bear and the Orion, the Pleiades, and the constellations of the south. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. When he passes me, I cannot see him. When he goes by, I cannot perceive him. If he snatches away, who can stop him? Who can say to him, "What are you doing?" God does not restrain his anger even in the cohorts of Rahab, cowered at his feet. Church, what a glorious God we serve. He moves mountains. He shakes the earth from its place. He speaks to the sun. He stretches out the heavens and the seas. He is the maker of the constellations. He does miracles upon miracles upon miracles every single day, even if we don't even see them. And then at the end, Job questions, who can question God? And the answer, no one. God's ways are not our ways. His understanding and his reasoning and his plans for doing something is not our understanding and reasoning. And that is the hardest part to understand, that our ways are not his ways, and that his ways are greater than our ways. But then so many times we want to stop and say, but what about this diagnosis? What about this loss of job? What about this child that doesn't have a family anymore? We can go on and on and on and on. But yet, Job says, God, what are you doing? Or, how can he be doing this? But then at the end of the day, God's sovereignty is greater than our comprehension. Our reasoning and understanding, again, are not his. He completes his purposes and his will in the way that he sees fit through his sovereignty. Later, Job says in Job 12:13, to God belongs wisdom and power. Counsel and understanding are his. It is through God that wisdom comes. It is through him being God and his wisdom and power and counsel that he can be sovereign. That great sovereignty, we can commit and surrender our lives to him. Solid Rock, I don't know about you, but the sovereignty of God just puts me in complete awe and wonder of him. Just thinking about his sovereignty should just capture our hearts to be in awe and draw us to worship, to exalt, and adore Christ the King. As we recognize his sovereign nature, we recognize who we are. Sinful, broken people that need a sovereign, good, most holy God that is above all and yet desires relationship with every single person from all the ends of the earth. He wants relationship with you. He wants to see you come to him every single morning waking up. He wants to know you, know the little details, know the big details. He wants you to invite him in. Be a part of that great sovereign plan with him. And now the next piece I want to spend the rest of our time on is, if God is sovereign, if he is completely in control of all that goes on, then do we still have free will? Can we as people still choose? Do we still have choice? This is one of the longest standing theological debates in our time. Because again, the question is everything completely ordained and set in stone before the beginning of time? Is God taking some strings and kind of just pulling everything together the way he wants? Or can we live freely? Can we choose? Do we have our own free will? Can we decide right and wrong? Can we decide if we want to align with God's will or not? In one word answer, yes. We have free will and have choice. Now please know I'm not up here just giving my theological beliefs as the intern here. Me and Pastor Ellie does agree with this also. So I'm not just spewing whatever. But that although God is in control, we can still make our own choices. We can still choose if we want to obey him or not. The matter if we do or not, well, that's up to us. Do we want to choose the way of God or our own way that fulfills our desires in a way that sees fit to us? That choice that fits us is not new, as we all know. There's always been the story of life since the first sin occurred in Genesis. We choose what is contrary to God's will. But even when we choose what is contrary to his will, his sovereign plan will still be fulfilled and it will still prevail. Essentially, we are responsible for our own sin. God does not will sin on us, but through choice, God in his sovereignty, he gives us the law of knowing and doing right and wrong. And he has given us the Holy Spirit to help us discern good and evil, to help lead and guide us in the path of righteousness. He has given us a choice between life and death, true everlasting fulfillment or instant gratification fulfillment. That's our culture now. We have a microwave gratification. We want things right away, instant. When in reality, the Christian life, it's more of like an oven. We have to wait for a long time for things to heat up or even get better, or sometimes things don't get better. But it's a slow, long process. The young adults pastor and the men's pastor over there at Christ Community a few months ago, I go there every Monday night, but in one of his sermons to the young adults to us, he said that our happiness lies on the other side of making small, difficult decisions to choose righteousness over our appetites. I'm going to say that again. Our happiness lies on the other side of making small, difficult decisions to choose righteousness over our appetite. Meaning that by the small decisions we make each day, we are choosing what brings life and death to us. By making those small decisions to be obedient to God, we are choosing righteousness over sins that are only momentarily satisfying. And instead are choosing lasting fulfillment that brings life to our very beings. But most importantly, these decisions align our hearts, minds, bodies, and souls to God's sovereign work and will in our life. In our life, but also in the world. God says in Deuteronomy 30:15-19. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees and laws, then you will live and increase. The Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering. But if your hearts turn away and you are not obedient, if you are drawn to bow down to the other gods and worship them, I declare you to this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live. In this passage, God has set before the people life and prosperity, and death and destruction. Although he is sovereign and above all, he has laid out the choices for us. In this passage, he exhorts, but he also warns, saying that when you choose life, you honor him, you live, and you increase. The Lord will bless you. He finds favor, and he is well pleased with you. The day we meet God, we all wait to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But there's also a warning saying that if you turn away to false gods, or in other words, sin, you will be destroyed. And that's life, because when sin grabs a hold of us, it takes our soul and it digs us deeper and deeper in. As Jesus talked about, just a little leaven just piles up more and more. And so we got to make those small decisions each day to surrender to Christ, but also to turn away from those instant gratification desires, which happens with sin. But church, at the other side of that potential grace, at that potential destruction, there is grace for those who know Christ and believe in him. There's an unexplainable grace from God that even when we fall, he draws us back to him. Although we fall or given to sin, his purposes and plans are not thwarted or thrown off. And he continues to work his sovereign plan in and through us and through the world. What God has set in stone, what God is doing in this world will continue to go on. It will continue to happen. Another way we can look at the sovereignty of God and the connection between human choice and free will and God's complete control and sovereignty is by looking at it through maybe parameters and boundaries. God's control, yes, it's always over us, but yet he still lets us choose within the boundaries and the parameters that he gives within his sovereignty. One earthly example would be that the law is the sovereign rule of the land. But within that law, we have the rules of the road. So we have the speed limit for when we are on the road. That speed limit is our boundary for how fast or slow we should be going to keep us safe and the other people around us. If we do not follow the boundary of the speed limit, well, then most likely you will see the red and blue flashing lights behind you. There is a boundary of freedom. Then we are in trouble when we fall out of that freedom. God gives us the space of freedom through his word, through following him. But when we step out of there, we fall into sin. Another small example can mean that if you are a teacher, you are sovereign of that class. You have the authority over the students in the class. And as the teacher, you lay out the expectations there are to pass the class. After that first moment of explaining the expectations, you no longer have full control, because now the expectation boundary is now set of what the expectations are. Now the students have the choice to pass. They can do the reading, participate in class, and do the homework. But they also have the choice to not show up to class, to not participate in class, and not do the homework. The boundary is set by the teacher, and then the students have the choice to follow it. The boundary is set by God for us to follow. We have the choice to follow it. One final example that, again, that same Christ Community teacher that I quoted, Christ Community pastor that I quoted before, shared with me is that every day he tells his kids not to run in the house with socks, but yet the kids keep on running in the house with socks. It comes to a point when he does not tell them anymore to run in the house with socks, but instead he lets them find out on their own why they are told not to run in the house with socks. Eventually they will slip and fall and maybe get hurt. He has the control in telling them, but then the kids have the choice to listen. I think that's how God can be with us. God is in control, but there are times when we just do not listen. And he lets us find out the consequences of our sin on our own, so that we will fix our eyes on him and on the one who is in control and on the one who is sovereign. So, Rock, in God's sovereignty, there is freedom and there is true life. True life that is found in him and at the foot of the cross. We are sinful people that need a sovereign God. We need his great grace every day to lead us in his sovereign plan. The world as we know has so much hate, evil, deceit, and violence. But yet God calls us to be in a loving, grace-filled relationship with him. That even though all the evil and all the chaos and all the hurt and pain that we directly experience in our lives, it is not in vain, but it is even part of God's sovereignty over us and the world. Just because of the chaos that goes on, God did not take his hand away. He did not take his rule, his authority, and his control away. He is working in it just as much as all of it is going on. And because we are finite beings, that we don't know the mind of God, we have to understand that in the midst of our choice, in the midst of God's sovereignty, there's always an ambiguity that we will never know. There's always that space where we can understand that he has revealed to us through his word and through the Holy Spirit, but yet there's so much we will never understand fully here on this earth. And we have to accept that and understand that. The sovereignty of God reminds us that we are not alone. And that we do not always have to be the ones in control. We have a God that loves us who is in control. That knows and sees, as I said, the littlest detail of our lives. So, Solid Rock, what do we do with the sovereignty of God in our lives? One, find comfort in God's sovereignty. The one who reigns supreme is the one who is holding you in his hand. No earthly disappointment can stop his great work in the world and in your life. We can have comfort because as his children, God is working directly and indirectly in every part of our lives. Just by the very thought of him being sovereign and that he has absolute authority should bring comfort knowing that we love and know a God who sees and knows every part of us, the good and the bad. Number two, sovereignty of God should humble us. In our scripture passage that Eric read from 1 Samuel, we heard that the Lord brings death and he brings life. He sends wealth and he brings poverty. He humbles and exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. For the foundations of the world are the Lord's. It is through him that we can be brought low and we can be brought high. We can have it all and then in the moment have nothing. But through all the changes in the ways in which God works, we need to be humbled by it, or else we will be humbled by God. Number three, let go of control. If God is the supreme sovereign one in control, then we do not need to be the ones in control of everything. Sometimes we need to stop and breathe and say, God, I give you control, and recognize who you are. In a style of prayer, way to just let go of control is just holding your fists together and open them up and release to God, or just continually saying over and over to God, I give you control, I give you control. Automatically your mind and your heart are just, for me, they seem to be relaxed, and you give it to him. Because again, he's in control then, far more than we could ever know. The galaxies and just the small world that we are here. The fourth and final point, which I know I say this every single time I speak, but read the Bible. Because as I said, from Genesis to Revelation, God's sovereignty is all over the place. It is at work in the words of Scripture, and he is at work right now, today. If you really want to know God's sovereignty, then you open up the Word. You dig into every little page, and you see what is it that he has to say. So today, how can you let go of control to God and invite him in more and more? How can you walk in a more humble posture toward the Lord? How can you find comfort in his sovereignty today? In the midst of all the violence, the chaos, but even in your direct life, as things may fall apart, if they aren't right now, that's incredible, but we know how life gets. Draw to him, but find that comfort in that sovereignty, in his will, in his plan. Know that in whatever you're going through, you are never on your own or alone. One, we have a great community here, but also a God that is he's so active. He's so present in our lives. He is present in the bedroom when you wake up in the morning. He is present here in the church. And he is every day drawing you closer and nearer to him. Even when you are pushing away, he wants relationship with you. So if you would, in Solid Rock, please pray with me. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for this day today. God, thank you just for your sovereign plan, your sovereign will over us every day. God, your supreme rule and authority. God, we don't stop and think about it enough. God, we are people of control. We are people that want to hold on. But God, when we release that, when we stop, breathe, release, God, it's incredible, God, what you do. You move and you do wonders. Lord, help us to find comfort. Help us to find rest in you, in your sovereignty. That in the midst of whatever is going on in our lives, Lord, God, you are good. You are still at work. You, God, are on your throne. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for moving and stirring and working in this service, but also in our lives as we go out. God, let us not be intimidated or afraid by your sovereignty and rule over us, but yet humbly come to the foot of the cross every day in confession, in forgiveness, and in hope. Lord, thank you, God, for the opportunity that we can gather here every week to hear your word and to know you more and more, to worship you as Lord, King, and ruler. Lord, thank you, God, for the series that we have coming up. Lord, help us to learn about these different doctrines, Lord, and the ways that you save us and continue to shape us and mold us and form us each day. Lord, we just ask, help us to imitate and become more and more like you, God. To be billboards, to be representatives of you in a lost and hurting, broken world that is in desperate need of your love. God, we love you and we thank you and we praise you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.